CliffCentral.com.
All right, you're making me high. It's Toni Braxton. I still love that woman. What happened to her? Where is she these days?
Well, after the lyrics of that song, she's having a labiaplasty.
No, oh, stop it.
So okay. Much of action going that, on in that.
That song.
Labioplasty.
Sheepish, Toni. You've got a hunger like no one else.
She had some tax issues a few years
even,
ago.
I don't even Did think, she? Even if Usher were to start the club, she could be satisfied.
Wow. Listen,
it reminds me of that song, Girl, I'm Gonna Make You Sweat.
Yes,
sweat till you can't
sweat no more. No. And if you cry out, I'm gonna push it
some more.
Now, that's a Me Too
he
fucking
could satisfy
song.
Toni. Yeah.
Satisfied, that's also rapey. Come on. Everything these days, you know, if you look at it through the lens of 2018, a lot of our artistic history is very rapey. Seriously.
It is a bit raw, isn't it?
It's rough.
Cave-like.
It is a bit cave-like.
I think a lot of Sting songs were also quite creepy.
Sting.
Every breath you take, I'll be watching you.
Oh, yeah.
Sting.
Oh, no, you just ruined such a great song.
It really was. That girl, I want to make you sweat. Sweat till you can't sweat no more. And if you cry out, I'm going to push it. Push it. Push it some more. Three push-its.
My belly said. She said once that this song made her terrified of sex.
Yeah. Damn
She's like,
right.
I don't want to sweat.
Yes, exactly. It's horrible, right?
Oh, no.
Yeah, there's some songs. I mean, I looked up a couple of songs. Remember we played that one from like the 1950s, which was so creepy about this,
so creepy.
This old man. And I mean, if you just think of the lyrics to Girl, boing, 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 boing. You'll be a woman soon. I mean, that's so creepy too.
I think actually a foundation for women and children abuse actually used that song as an advert.
Oh my
Horrible.
Gosh.
Yeah. Oh no, I shouldn't have pulled this list up. It's now going to ruin all of these amazing songs.
What have you got?
But some of the songs that are actually about like all of these creepy things and date rape, a song like Baby It's Cold Outside.
Yeah, that's coming up for Christmas.
Where the girl says, I ought to say no, sir. And then the guy responds by saying, mind if I move closer?
Yeah, it's a horrible song.
Bill Cosby actually covered that song.
I think he did. But I mean, listen to the lyrics. You tell me if you think it's creepy. And this will get you, because they're a month away from December. And, you know, Christmas comes up very quickly. Before you know it, we'll be there. And I'm not trying to conscientize you into Christmas like those shops that put up decorations. But listen to these lyrics. Tell me this isn't the kind of thing that would be unacceptable in the age of Me Too.
I really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go
but
away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you drop in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
My
ice.
My mother will start to
Beautiful,
worry.
What's your...
And father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace.
He's telling her to not worry about her mother and father who are... pacing. They're so worried about
so
it.
Worried.
He's holding her hands because they're like ice. I mean, he's using the weather a lot as an excuse here. It's cold outside. And she's like, but I gotta go. And what does he do? Takes no for an answer. No, not a chance.
Beautiful, please don't.
Well, maybe just a half a drink.
Put some records on while I pour.
The neighbors might
think. Baby, it's bad out there.
Mm-hmm. Say, what's in this
No
drink?
Cabs to be had out there.
It's bad in here as well. Listen to these lyrics. Bill Cosby loved this song. Oh, I love Christmas time when it comes around that song starts to play.
I find nothing wrong with this song.
I'm so proud of you. You know, you don't think like these people
are
massive
activists.
I think
it's cute and romantic and theatrical.
I know, but there's a lot that you could misinterpret these days. A lot. I'm telling you, people.
There's something wrong with the people who are misinterpreting
these
things.
You said, I'm not going to say that because I'll get killed.
What about
you're very brave.
What about a song like, I'd rather see you dead, little girl, than to be with another man?
Yeah, you see, that's
just those were the Beatles.
That's downright terrible. Bloody
and we
Beatles.
Went on, we sang along with it.
Beatles, those Nazis.
Oh, escalated.
Murderous beings.
Yeah. All right, well, there are some news stories. We'll get to the burning platform in a moment or two. Catherine Child will join us. We're going to talk about Brian Hlongwa. We're going to talk about Patricia DeLille, because I still don't know what's going on there. The Pittsburgh synagogue story continues to get more and more disturbing. You know what happened there. A guy burst into this shul in Pittsburgh, shot a whole lot of people in a clearly anti-Semitic attack. He was some kind of right-wing extremist. And WHP's memorial was the other day. I'm not sure if you followed the story. His wife is still saying, you know, let us please have our privacy.
Oh, it's getting messy there.
Yeah. Well, is it? I mean,
supposedly WHP's family have now spoken out and said that Lerato is actually not considered a wife in the family.
Oh, no.
And they said this at the memorial.
Well, here's what Lerato had to say. She read a tribute to WHP.
I've lost a husband, my best friend, my road dog, my comedian, my selector, my favorite artist, my struggle mate, the love of my life, Mutuaga. I loved you when you didn't love yourself. I loved you when you thought you didn't deserve to be loved. I loved you when others thought you were unlovable. I loved you when others were scared to love you. I fought for you when I had to be a one-woman army against so many that tried to tarnish your name. I loved you through happiness and pain, highs and lows, darkness and light, fear and pride. I find solace in knowing that even in your last, your very, very last breath, you knew that. You were so easy to love that even when you thought it was difficult, it actually wasn't. You were and will always be one of the kindest, most selfless, and undeniably loving people that God has ever, ever, ever put on this earth. And your gift of healing through your art is, like, it's undeniable. There will never be another. I thank God every single day that He chose me to share a sea of some of the happiest years of your life. People go through their lives searching for their soulmates, and we found each other. I mean, what a blessing. Our love is one written about in novels, sung about in songs, acted out in movies. It is a love that people can only dream about, so I know for sure that God does not make mistakes. I will be as strong for you now and continue to protect you and your legacy in death like I did when you were alive. You know I am a fighter who will stop at nothing to do what is right for you. There will still be so much said, so much done, but I will take those lashings with the integrity and grace of the warrior queen you chose to share the throne with. I will not cower. They will not.
They will not break me, is how that finishes.
Sure.
Yo, I mean, quite a speech. It's almost like a political speech. I mean, that's...
And just so moving, actually.
Yeah, beautiful words.
Yeah. Shame.
Beautiful words. I feel very sorry for the whole family, obviously, because we knew him, and there was a lot to love about that man.
In the midst of the memorial, there was this sea of young boys in school uniform, and those were WHP's son's schoolmates out to support him.
Wow.
All was fantastic and well up until this artist named Rasta got into the midst of things. South Africa, can we never just have something without any drama?
What happened?
So Rasta is an artist who does these portraits. And I think over the past couple of months, with popular deaths, he's been taking the opportunity to
paint pictures of the dead.
And he just doesn't do a good job at all.
Oh, so they're terrible, bad likenesses.
Oh, horrible, horrible, horrible.
Wow, like you have professional funeral criers. You need a professional funeral painter.
And not Rasta.
Well, he saw a gap in the market. I don't see anyone else jumping up to do it. Let's go to Busi. Hey, Busi, what's up?
Hi, I'm okay. And you?
Good, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was listening on podcast, so I'm a bit delayed.
That's okay.
Ben was talking about Uber drivers causing violence and stuff. So I wanted to give my own account of something I've witnessed, like how I think it happened. I saw at Bosman Station, the guy one guy comes and stands in front of your car, if you're driving a sedan, like a Polo or a Corolla, mm-hmm. and then the other guy comes to the driver's window and then asks to see your cell phone, I think that's how they start.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is this the... So they are these the guys who are trying to attack the Uber drivers?
Yeah.
So they come
I
to...
I think it's the meter taxi drivers.
Yeah.
If you're driving a sedan and then you have a passenger, like a Polo or a Corolla or so forth,
mm-hmm.
one guy stands in front of you so that you can drive, and then the other one comes to your window and then asks to see both your cell phones, you, the driver, and the passenger.
Hmm. And then they beat you up.
Okay, luckily the guy was not an Uber driver, but then I think that's what might happen if
wow.
you happen to be on the Uber app.
I mean, what are you going to do if you are an Uber driver and they do yeah. check your phone? I mean, what do you do? You can't drive away. Yeah. You can't...
It's very bad.
Jesus. I suppose you could always just keep your window up and not respond.
Yeah, but then the other guy is standing in front of you, so you can't drive. You have to knock him before you can go anywhere.
Jeez, man. Have you seen this happen, Boosie?
Sorry?
You've seen this happen?
Yeah, I witnessed it with my own eyes.
Jesus. Horrible.
The Pretoria Gautrain station.
Wow. You use Uber?
Yeah, I do.
No, I think a lot of us do. I find it unbelievable that these meter taxi drivers imagine that there's a world where they're still useful yeah. to us, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's like now the DVD companies going and yeah. closing down right. Netflix. Like, they can't accept that. The time has changed.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, as you say, the DVD companies have accepted their fate. They're not going to be around for long. They've gone out of business largely. Now, the meter cab drivers have to realize the same thing.
Yeah.
All right, dude.
Either join or get kicked out.
Thanks, man.
Okay, no problem.
Thanks, Boosie. Oh, Jesus, you got
it. It's really scary, especially if you're a passenger.
Well, you
don't know.
Imagine being these drivers. You're trying to make a living. You're trying to do an honest job.
Apparently Pretoria is the worst for this kind of stuff. And this is where we've seen the taxify guys get murdered.
Hmm?
A lot of them won't actually collect from there.
Yeah.
From the Gautrain stations. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I've heard that. Gussie Tops says, beautiful words. Are you kidding me? Our addiction to hyperboles is laughable. Humans always get given superhuman qualities posthumously. I know. I know what you mean.
Quite a sentence though, Gussie Tops.
Yeah, he makes a good point. We do say really nice things about people when they're no longer there. And I think part of it is maybe guilt. I'm not saying that in this case that's true. But, it's tough. How do you even begin to... I mean, you can't criticize a memorial tribute.
No.
It just feels unnecessary, you know? I mean...
It's her feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah, but let's say nice things about people who are living today then.
That's a good idea, Ben. Yeah. There we go. Morning team, I was in queue yesterday and the two gentlemen in front of me were standing and chatting while we waited to get served. The one guy tells his friend that he would have to retrench 300 staff because he's no longer getting contracts to road maintenance because of our government giving these jobs to the Chinese now. What do you think of that? It's Brendan. That's hectic. Claudio says Djokovic does have a restaurant and he's on a vegan diet and that's why he's kicking ass. Same as Hamilton in F1. Go vegans. That's Claudio.
Nice.
I didn't know that. Interesting information. Thank you, Claudio. You see, we always learn things on this show. All right, speaking of learning things, it's time to check in on the Burning Platform with Catherine Child this morning. Burning Platform brought to you by Nando's, and she's actually attending the Discovery Conference later on, so she's on the line on Skype from her car. Isn't that great? Are you in your car right now, Catherine?
I'm not in my car. I was on my Uber to Sandton because Discovery's partnering with Uber.
Yeah.
So I came here like a celebrity and got dropped off.
Nice. What's it looking like there? Busy?
I've actually come into... It is busy. So I've come into the shopping mall next door just to escape all the security because there's a lot of security today.
Well, are you most excited to hear Bill, David Cameron, Crooked Hillary, or one of the other speakers?
Caster Semenya, I think she's the biggest leader out of all of them.
Okay.
Whether or not you think she should run, I mean, I think the way that she handles all the furore around her and her grace is impressive.
That is impressive.
I mean, I personally don't think she should be running, but I'm dying to hear what she has to say. David Cameron, not so much.
Yeah, the Brexit man.
The Brexit man who had to resign, who's coming to talk to us about leadership.
All right, so let's talk about stuff that we are currently dealing with in the news. Brian Hlongwa, tell us about this guy again. Remind us who he is.
So he was MEC for Health from about 2006, and he was so corrupt. But it took, and so in 2010, Jacob Zuma asked the SIU to investigate him and all the corruption around the Gauteng Department of Health. Mm-hmm. They do a massive investigation, and then the report gets buried for 7 years. And then somehow in 2017, it gets passed on to Zuma. Section 27 asks for the report. They put in a PIA application, which is a legal application to get it. Mm-hmm. They don't get the report, but then Ramaphosa becomes president and their power is successful. And they release it quite strategically on the day that the NHI plans are announced by the minister.
Ooh.
I don't know if that was on purpose, but here you've got the health minister saying, well, we want the state to kind of control health. And then you have this report coming out about how the state used the health department to steal 1.2 billion rand. So it was, yeah... Makes
Jeez.
You think.
All right, so what's the latest with him? He's been accused of making a billion rand from this corruption racket, much maligned for his role in Life Estimeni, and we know that that hasn't completely been resolved yet. We did have the inquiry. No one's really taken the blame for that Estimeni situation, have they?
So I don't think Brian Hlongwa was in any way involved with Estimeni because he'd resigned by then.
Okay.
You might be mixing him up with Kidani, who
Mahlangu, yeah.
was involved, yeah, and who was part of the same kind of disciplinary process in the last week. But no, so Brian kind of disappeared from public eye in 2010, and everyone forgot about him except for Jack Bloom and the DA and Section 27, who kept saying, what's going to happen? This guy stole all this money from the poor, from health, and something needs to happen. So this week he lost his job working for the Gauteng legislature, mm-hmm. but he's still part of the ANC and he's still part of their provincial executive committee because they decided not to fire him from the party despite stealing 2 billion.
All right. Well, I mean, he doesn't sound to me like a very savory guy, but then the ANC's got a lot of unsavory people in their ranks.
Very much. I mean, the way he committed fraud is quite clever And at least his wife got involved. There's one line in the SIU report that says beauty and the bribe, but as she was taken in limousines for spa treatment, he got his whole house bought in Bryanston, which credit to Jack Bloom, never ever shut up about that house. I mean, I remember years ago him going on about how does this man afford a 7 million rand house, but it was bought for him by a company that he was getting lots of work to. But the company wasn't doing the work. The Gauteng Department of Health was doing the work. And those outsiders were being paid to sort out the budget, which they weren't sorting out. So they were basically being given millions to do nothing.
Well, as I understand it then, what you're actually doing is giving him some credit for being quite creative and smart about the way he did his corruption, unlike so many people who just, sort of stumble upon things.
It does seem creative and also ridiculous. I mean, they decided to have cricket hats. Now, why the Department of Health needs to brand cricket hats... what a cricket hat is, I'm not even sure, and backpacks. And they spent more than 1 million rand on these cricket hats, 14,000 of them. It doesn't say what they were branded on. But, I mean, somehow managed to get 1 million rand out just to buy 14,000 hats. And then 700,000 on backpacks that were going to be branded with some health message.
Well, so, you've got to have hats and backpacks. I mean, what kind of what's wrong with you? These are important things.
And IT stuff, I mean, they put up this whole project that they were going to broadcast through TV to patients in clinics waiting for ARVs, messages about HIV and health, which they never did. So they got lots and lots of money for these great IT projects. And as we know, the Department of Health is still all paper-based. I mean, when they went up in fire recently, a lot of records were burnt. So they spent millions on making the department tech-savvy, except they didn't. The money just went into people's pockets. And Hlongwa was like just like the Gupta people. I mean, it looks like they may have been involved a little bit through the company Regiment's Health. Yeah. And this is as far back as 2006. And he was being flown to Dubai, Vienna, London, Cape Town. So he got a lot of overseas trips as well.
Let me just divert our attention because we talk about corruption. And for the longest time, I thought the DA were being very unkind to Patricia de Lille. I thought it was a very bad move politically because she's quite popular. She was a firebrand. She was one of their They're more interesting additions in the last couple of years when she came across from the Independent Democrats. She has been the mayor of Cape Town for some time now, and by all intents, she was pretty good at that job. It turns out that she's also had her hand in the pie. Your phone, by the way, is going crazy this morning.
Sorry, I'm not sure what that is.
No, it's lots of messages. Or else you've left on the vibrate phone.
She hasn't paid her TV license.
I'm always getting those TV license calls. I don't own a TV. So I haven't followed Trisha DeLille very closely because it's just annoying.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a 2,000-page report that alleges that she basically turned her a blind eye to tender corruption when a bus company was given a tender they shouldn't have, and mm-hmm. she protected her staff. So I know she keeps denying it, but it's an independent report finds that she was corrupt. And as Gareth van Onselen from the Institute of Race Relations keeps saying, she won't answer the question, did she send the SMS? And the SMS was sent to Xanthia Limburg, who works for the city of Cape Town, telling her who to employ in a job interview process, which of course is illegal. And she will not reply and say, well, I didn't send it, or I did send it. I did say who needs to be employed. So, you know, until we get a straight answer, I don't have much time for her.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are quite disappointed by the fact that she came out all combative and said, you know, let there be an inquiry, let them come and investigate. I'm going to open the doors. I'm going to open all the documents that they need. And now suddenly she's very quiet, and she's playing a completely different game to the one that she was playing 3 or 4 months ago when she was protesting her innocence.
Yeah, and she put up a tweet yesterday of her in boxing gloves with the mayor's medal on, like dancing around. Again. So, I mean, it's just actually got absurd. Like, as someone tweeted, we are led by idiots. Yeah. But, I mean, the legal firm clearly did their work, so she better come up with a good excuse for to explain her role in turning a blind eye to tender corruption.
And the DA also dealing with embarrassment because they sent a bunch of people to protest Duduzane Zuma outside the court the other day, and the people they sent to protest in their DA shirts ended up wanting to take selfies with Duduzane Zuma. I mean, that's almost comical, right?
It is comical. The DA, I think they should just make a joke of it instead of saying they're going to investigate.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it does kind of concern you as a party if the people you think are gonna vote and then even protest for you are immediately overawed by a good-looking man. He apparently told the journalist he's tired of being seen as a sex object, but that was Karen Morn. But he did pose with all these DA people. He literally lets them take selfies with him. So I don't think he's that tired of it.
He told Karen Morn he's tired of being seen as a sex object.
Yeah, but he posed with the protesters who forgot that they were there to protest against him and were overawed by his good looks.
Ay, ay, ay. All right, other stories that are going on in the news that have got your attention this week?
Well, I wrote a story. It's kind of odd, but the SA Blind Society and a blind woman called Amanda Bester have taken the Department of Home Affairs to the Equality Court in Cape Town.
Yeah.
The matter was actually heard, and they're waiting for judgment because they wouldn't let her guide dog with her into the Mossel Bay Home Affairs branch. Because, but I mean, the reasons, and this is in court papers, so it's not a spokesperson, they said people inside the branch were scared of the dog and that they were screaming and shouting. Now, she said she heard no screaming and shouting, and she denies all the facts. But they went as far as blaming apartheid. This is Home Affairs.
She said, dog?
The guard dog could not come inside the branch where this blind woman was being assisted because the people inside the branch were scared. It was causing a commotion in a crowded and confined space. Because the apartheid police used to use dogs against protesters and violently. So people, because of apartheid, are still scared of dogs, and that's why the guard dog was denied entry. So there you go, the apartheid excuse used in court.
Imagine putting your victimhood ahead of that of a blind woman whose dog is there not for recreational purposes, but to help her see her way around a place that is unfamiliar to her. Imagine how derelict your brain has to be for that to happen.
And she maintains, she was with her mother. She maintains that her mother told her, look, you can leave the dog in the car if they won't let it in.
Right.
Because it's not crowded, you're going to get help quickly, which she did because there weren't lots of people. So even the excuse that there was commotion and screaming and fear.
Nonsense.
Well, apparently there were only 4 people inside. So she doesn't think there was a lot of fear. And she argues in court that it's the department's role to teach people that guide dogs are safe, they're trained, they're not aggressive.
We talk about equality, and we talk about a country where we care about the rights of disabled people. Part of dealing with blind people and their problems is that you have to deal with their dogs. It's a well-known thing all over the world. I don't know why that excuse should even rear its ugly head in this country. It seems to me utterly ridiculous. So you'll keep us informed as that case starts to gather momentum.
Yes, all she wants is a sign at Mossel Bay saying guide dogs are permitted and the staff to be trained to recognize what a guide or working dog is. Yeah. So why are they opposing it in court and wasting taxpayers' money? I don't know. Because she's not asking for money. She's just asking that people get trained on how to accommodate the blind and their dogs.
Unbelievable. Has Tito Mboweni been busy in his first couple of weeks? I mean, we heard his speech last week and we spoke about that a little bit. But has he done anything else in the last couple of days? Sorry, Catherine was bored with us.
She just wanted to tell us that one story about the guide dog.
She was really, after that, she was just enough with you. Enough with you lot. All right, that's the Burning Platform for this morning, which is brought to you by Nando's. Some pretty interesting stuff going on there. Imagine going into a home affairs department with your guide dog because you can't see.
I'm interested to know what breed it was, purely because I've been told before.
Alsatians.
Yeah, German shepherds are an issue.
Yeah.
Especially the really dark ones. And that those still do instill fear.
Those always do look like police dogs. In movies, they are the police dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, by no means are they more dangerous than any other kind of dog.
No, exactly. It's just a perception. But it's interesting because guide dogs are usually retrievers.
Labradors
and golden retrievers. So, yeah, it would be interesting to know.
Alrighty, when we come back, Ben, Leanne, and Sia will keep you company for the next little while. I'm off to Sandton, and we will see you tomorrow morning, bright and early at 6 o'clock. We've got a bunch of interesting stuff happening on cliffcentral.com today, as every day. And we will keep you informed, all the stories in the news. There are some very interesting things happening in Johannesburg today, which I'll also fill you in on tomorrow morning. So stick around, plenty more still to come.
The crap that Gareth listens to. That's Summer, Calvin Harris, the Four Ways Butch remix.
You haven't even he's not even out of the building yet, and you've already started bad-mouthing him.
Love that song.
Did Calvin Harris authorize this? It's all like... When I met you in the summer. Oh, fart noises.
Ben, stop being grumpy
I'm not being grumpy. Come on. What is this? I'm
going to play the song for you.
I love this song. It's on my playlist.
I can't wait for the drop so I can have a seizure. It's like, how do you dance to that? I mean, even Nola's going, I can't even dance to that. Nola doesn't even care how she dances.
Just rather up-tempo.
Wait, is this exact version on your playlist, Leanne?
This exact version?
I don't know if it's this version.
Of course it's not, Leanne. Don't play stupid with us.
Oh.
You don't have the Four Ways Put version.
Okay.
You have the normal version.
Maybe
it's a lovely song.
We fell in love. Okay, maybe not.
Shame on you, Diplo, and whoever else. Anyway.
I don't mind it.
Something very interesting is happening in the world. People are making things out of moose turds.
What?
Yes, okay. This is possibly my most favorite story. It kind of all came out last month, and it's affected this woman's business to such a point that they can't keep up with orders anymore because news companies went and covered the story. She does something rather interesting.
She's from Maine, so she's a Maine woman.
She's a Maine woman, as in Maine in America.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on at this Somerville home. There are 2 adults, 3 kids, more than 60 animals, including some fish, and a whole bunch of moose turds.
So dry.
Mary Winchenbach runs Turdy Works. It's art made from the stuff that moose leave behind.
Everyone takes a crap. Everyone goes to the bathroom, so everyone can relate to that. And the terms that I use to name these products are everyday terms that, you know, people are used to hearing and stuff. So it just kind of... You just try to, you know, combine the two to come up with something halfway decent that's funny, you know. For example, the first thing that we make now, instead of a cuckoo clock, see, this is a poo-poo clock. And what we did see is we took them turds and we crammed them in between the number there, so that's 1, 30, 2, 30, 3, 30.
That's just one of many products she offers.
Now, over here, we make fecal people. And depending upon the shape of them middle turds right there, we can do them with big boobs or guts or butts or long legs or short legs, see, because there's no 2 turds that are ever alike. You ever seen a turd, the 2 turds alike? not. No.
Mary says half the battle is getting her product, but to do that, she doesn't have to travel far.
The turds are all local. We just go out and track the moose, and wherever the moose are, they're going to take a crap. And I have found that when a moose takes a dump, you walk about 50 yards in any direction and they take another dump.
It's a fairly simple and efficient business model.
And when a moose takes a dump, they'll crap out between 200 and 400 turds every time they take a crap. So it's like I get $5 a turd for these things. So I get jumping right up and down. I get excited when I see a turd.
Since going viral, she doesn't know what her next local stop will be. But she's upping her game with a new TurdyWorks Facebook page to peddle her poop.
Get on there, and that's all my turds are on that page right there with the prices, and click on them, and then get to me and let me know what you need for turds, and I ship everywhere.
Brian Sullivan, WABI TV5 News, Somerville.
What an incredible woman. She's finding gold out of a moose's arse.
I think it's brilliant.
TurdyWorks.
And you know, she can't keep up with demand here. So one of her Facebook posts on the 25th of October says, "Hey everyone, we just wanted to put out a quick message out there to all our customers and fans. We really appreciate your patience while we work to ship your orders to you, as we are only a two-woman operation. We have our office manager and our clockmaker, the poo-poo clock. But besides that, it's just us two girls. We had two huge 55-gallon drums full of moose turds, and we're running low today and tomorrow, so we'll be out in the woods collecting moose turds. Please bear with us. We never expected our turds to go viral as they did, but we're very excited about our new venture and appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks for all your shitty business and shitty support, the TurdyWorks crew."
Can you imagine that woman? She sees a moose. She's like, "Come on, take a shit." And the moose is like, "Oh, it's that woman again."
But she says it shits out between up to 400 plops per poop.
But the great thing is with most like kind of gamey animals is that they have pellety kind of poops.
It's just plant matter.
Yeah, and because they're not having like burritos and like pies from garages.
And eggs and
cheese.
It's basically cellulose.
Yeah, they have very efficient poops. And this woman is just standing there with a bucket of...
I think it's great.
This is a delightful topic.
See, that's what's
free. She can make money out of that. Oh, I think that's great.
There's hope for everyone.
It's just a slightly more sort of serious story. Remember the Dross rapist, as he's known?
Mm.
Well, it appears he's going to be pleading insanity. I know we always try to keep you up to date with these stories.
He was the one who took off his clothes, right?
Yeah.
Well, he was found in the loo, naked.
Yes.
And with blood over his chest.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like he's going to double down on that one. He's going to go for the insanity plea. But the interesting thing about the insanity plea, not that I know a lot about the legal stuff, is that it's up to the defense to prove this. You can't just go in there and say, well, he's a bit cooked in the head, because it's they have to go through this. So a lot of medical proceedings here to get to the point where he can be seen as insane. So obviously that will lighten your sentence, I believe. But then it'll obviously be a different kind of jail thing. You'll go to like a different kind of institution. So it's a big call.
Where there are other people like you.
Yes. Big call whether he is or he isn't. Either way, it's a heinous crime which he's going to have to stand up to now. But that is actually what it's going to go. It's going to go with a not guilty plea with reason being insanity. If you were wondering what's happened with that story.
And then also similarly an update on the Parktown Boys water polo coach.
Yes.
Sentence was postponed. It was announced yesterday. So sentencing will now take place in a month's time.
How?
Yeah.
What, does someone drop a piece of paper? Like, what more needs to be done?
It's bizarre. It's bizarre.
These poor families, you know, they just want closure on this whole thing, and it's for a month. Mm. Well, it's like a golf tournament on. Like, what are these judges? But have you seen the news?
And this, by the way, this is the second time sentencing has been postponed on the Colin Rex case in particular.
I pleaded guilty to all those charges. The charges were pretty graphic. They were pretty obvious. I mean, can they not count?
And I think that a month's delay is probably because of the fact that courts are booked out. But to be delayed twice now.
Shucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. The case will resume in court on the 27th of November.
Have you seen the new Zapira cartoon around the Gigaba sex tape?
No.
I still feel bad about calling it a sex tape because there wasn't actually sex. It was him just just
masturbation.
It was just his dick, really. So, so as you know, and don't act like you haven't seen the video, you pervert. You all had it. It's been circling on WhatsApp.
I still haven't. I can't.
Or you still want to, which is also fine. So we all know the image that he's standing there with his big throbbing member from a very flattering camera angle. But the Zapiro cartoon is brilliant because essentially Gagaba becomes the dick. And then there's a Gupta who's actually the body.
The masturbator.
The actual masturbator of the dick. And the caption is simply, "The tape Gagaba, the tape Gagaba really should be worried about." Bravo, Zapiro. That's one of your best work, I think.
says Ben Karpinski.
That is clever.
Shame. Yeah, I still haven't really heard much from the Gagaba camp apart from his spokesperson speaking out.
You're going to hear what you expect to hear.
Yeah. There won't be any major revelation of them being, you know, upfront or answering questions directly. And then Mrs. Gagaba's keeping to her Mrs. Gagaba self, posting on Instagram her lunches, her friends, boozy lunches, traveling. That's just her life in a nutshell. I'm not surprised. I really am not surprised.
Well, that's lovely, Sia. That's absolutely lovely. So, you know how we always talk about like the certain lists that you can get through in life, like the rich list is always one that has a huge conversation point.
And the one we avoid all the time just because it doesn't give us an ego boost.
Yeah. So, do you want to know who Britain's richest are under 30?
Okay.
I think we all know who the winner of this is. It's pretty obvious. Pretty obvious. But let's just skim through the top 10 here.
Okay.
The 10th richest young person in Britain is Zayn Malik, £37 million.
Okay.
Even after quitting One Direction.
Yeah, he's had a successful solo career.
Yeah,
he does work for Versace.
And now that he can actually mention words like sex in his songs, that's why he's now gone popular. Yeah.
Number 9, Sia, is Liam Payne.
Also
a former One Directioner, whose name you didn't know as much as Zayn Malik, but he's richer, £43 million. Number 8 is Louis Tomlinson.
Also One Directioner, Ben.
Oh.
Next up, Niall Horan.
Also a One Directioner.
Yes.
So One Direction is just the richest. All of them individually. That's why they broke up, because they weren't being rich enough by a group.
Uh-huh.
So One Direction, as you know, is made up of Niall Horan, Louis Tomlinson,
Zayn Malik,
Liam Payne, and Zayn Malik.
And then there's the other one.
Maybe he's the next on the list.
Well, is the other one in the top 10. Let's read on. Number 6 is Little Mix.
Mix is a group, a singing group.
Female.
Yes. Well, they're the 6th richest under 30 in Britain.
So one of the One Directioners went in the wrong direction.
Or has he? Or has he, Leanne? The list has still got to go. Number 5 is Hermione from Harry Potter.
Emma Watson.
Yeah.
She's still putting out good movies.
£55 million. And then number 4 is Harry Styles.
Okay.
So
Harry's like the Mick Jagger of the group.
He's the sex symbol of One Direction. So he's the Duduzani Zuma of One Direction. So he's rolling in $58 million. He's only 24.
Jeez.
They're all 24, 25-ish, huh? These One Directioners.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're into the top 3. Harry Potter. He's third richest British person under 30. £87 million. He's 29.
Is this $87 million? Is this their net worth or what they've earned in the last financial year?
This currently, I think, is the net worth.
Sure. I was about to say, if you earn like $87 million.
And this is pounds. This is the real money. This is the Queen's money, which means a lot. Second, obviously, Ed Sheeran, £94 million. That's, wow.
Then who's number one?
Obviously, it's Adele.
She's still under 30?
But like a lot though. Sorry, okay, so Adele, I know she looks about 40, but Adele is 30. She's on the number.
Oh, right.
And £147.5 million. So that's, just think, Ed Sheeran is second on 94, and Adele is 147.
She does look old. She dresses older than 30.
Well, she's...
it makes sense though. Her last album was called 25. And you know she names her albums after her ages. So she last released her album when she was 25, which is 2015.
So she's barely even working and she's making all this money. Well, she's touring, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she does a lot of appearances and talk shows and things like that.
She recently turned down £1 million for a private gig at a wedding. Someone actually said, Adele, here's £1 million, come sing at our wedding. And she's like, no, thanks.
Because you can when you're Adele. Can I reference another story here? If we're talking about UK and the Queen's riches, this case, I'd love to keep a very interesting eye on to see how it plays out. A dairy farmer's son in the UK, who in inverted commas doesn't like cows, is currently taking his parents to court for his right to inherit their business. So I'm going to summarize what happened here. The parents have a farm, their cows on there, and he grew up on the farm, which means he was working and helping out on the farm, and he had a rightful inheritance of almost £1 million.
Yeah.
South Africans, let's take a moment to convert that. That's more than 18 million rands. That's what he was just going to inherit from his parents. Up until 2016, when he and his parents had a falling out, supposedly his parents didn't approve of his girlfriend, and they said, you know what, just for that, we're cutting you out of the will. You're losing out on your inheritance. And Clive is his name. Clive is now saying, screw it, rightfully so. I'm now 55 years old. You bought this farm when I was 7 years old. So he's taking his parents to court to prove how much work he's put in over the years onto this farm. And he says, actually, on top of that, I don't even care for cows. So I don't want your stinking farm in any case. I want £1 million in cash, and let me and my girlfriend be. How's that going to go down at Christmas when you're taking your parents to court? And I also think it's, you know, I don't know. I'm two minds with this. I get what he's saying.
Yeah.
But also, you really sound stuck up and entitled here, dude.
Mm.
A lot.
I saw an interesting story during this week, which was this big build-up to a bookstore in the UK, which needed to move its books to another store. And they had a bit of a dilemma, because to move like 2,000 books from one bookstore to a few meters down the road,
mm-hmm,
costs the same as whether it's a kilometer or three. So they used people.
Excuse me now?
Yeah. They got volunteers and created a human chain of volunteers, 200 to be precise, who stood like shoulder to shoulder.
Sounds very British.
It is. And yeah, it's in this cute little
village.
It's
very village. Like Notting Hill. You can see Hugh Grant with a floppy shirt and his mates doing that.
What were you doing over the weekend?
It's in Southampton. It's like sort of a very cultural little village.
Very British.
The bookstore is called October Books, and the whole community got together and moved these books hand to hand, literally one book at a time. They moved 2,000 books in an hour. And yeah, so they're happily in their new store, and which opens up this weekend. But yeah, they didn't have to try very hard to get these volunteers. Everyone just wanted to be part of it.
See, you really are spot on, Ben. It does sound very British. What were you doing over the weekend? Oh yeah, I was just helping with the move.
Moving books.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. Is there anything else? Wasn't there anything better for them to do?
They love this bookstore. They've been going there for 40 years. And that's where they buy their books. They don't buy them from anywhere else.
Did anyone break the news to them that, you know, the digital age is taking over? And you know, people are reading on Kindles and tablets now. Because perhaps the gathering of 200 people should have discussed that.
I suppose so, but you know, they're very traditional.
All right, Nola, what's going on with the lines here? No, speak. Yeah. No, Nola, I'm talking to you as hi, I'm on the show, so you're talking to the microphone as well.
Ben.
What's here we go. Up? It's called a radio show.
What are you asking me?
There's someone on the line. Who's in the line?
Yes, there is. It's Small.
Okay, cool. Small, how's it going? Hello.
Ooh. That's a bad line.
And
can you hear me, Ben?
Yes, hi.
How are you?
Yeah, good. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. So I have a question. I've just moved to Joburg on Monday.
Very good.
And I need your guys' advice. I'm currently staying with a friend of mine in Sunning Hill.
Mm-hmm.
But the job that I'm going to be starting on Monday is in Randburg, and I don't have a car.
Ooh.
And I don't think I'm going to afford to Uber every day to work. So I just wanted to find out what you guys think would be the most convenient way to move between, say, let's say Stanton and Randburg on a daily basis without a car.
Sure, this is quite difficult. Maybe we can open this up to people to drop us emails around this. Info at cliffcentral.com. Contact at cliffcentral.com. Because if you Uber every day, that's probably going to be return trip about 180 Rand, 200 Rand a day. Okay,
so yeah, it's looking, a lot of money.
You're looking at 4 grand a month.
Uber wouldn't be the best decision for daily use, no.
4 grand a month, that's not good. If you don't have a car...
And I've already tried like commuting. I've already tried commuting. Yesterday, I actually woke up as if I was going to work, and it took me like 45 minutes. And that was between also me getting like mixed directions from taxi drivers who didn't want to tell me where the taxis were and stuff like that. So... I need to find that out before Monday, because on Monday it's D-Day. I need to start work.
Yeah, see, and you can't... Nola, have you got some advice?
Where is he based?
Sunning Hill. So
I'm in Sunning Hill right now.
Behind us, bottom of Rivonia Road.
Okay, I think at this point, Gautrain and Gautbus could be your best bet.
But aren't there local taxis? I would say taxis are cheaper and easier.
Yeah, but you just said 45 minutes and it's an absolute mission. Got to listen. Mm.
So which station? The Stanton station?
Yeah, the Stanton station. And you buy, say, a monthly pass. Yeah. And you just use that. It's pretty affordable, you know.
But is there a stop in Randburg?
I think so. Randburg, you have to take a bus, a Gau bus, that's going to drop you off in Randburg. And it doesn't cost you as much if you are using your train. Yeah.
Guys, as riveting as this is, if you don't live here, this is going to be the worst conversation you've ever heard in your entire life. Just Nola, get his details and keep sharing those pills of wisdom. But I wish you the absolute best of luck, because that sounds like a shit show. But I do also congratulate you on your new job.
Hopefully within the next few months, I'm going to be able to get myself a car, because I can't live like this.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that. And welcome to Joburg. Don't believe everything you hear. It's actually quite a nice place.
And embrace the traffic. 45 minutes is it will be a constant in your life.
Where are you from originally?
KZN, Pietermaritzburg.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. So it's going to be a big eye-opener.
Yeah.
All right, man.
All right. Thanks for the advice, guys.
All the best for next week.
Awesome.
Ciao.
Bye.
Look at us being a bit of a help desk. Like, you called up the wrong people for advice, though. Just putting it out there.
Yeah.
And then, can I squeeze this in just before
you can wrap it in.
Yeah, may I squeeze this in? There we go. Before we wrap up the hour. This is, I'm just always looking at these bizarre court cases as well. This is one that I also want to see how it will unfold, because shock, horror, gasp, there is an expose that's currently being done on a daycare center in St. Louis, Missouri, and has all of the housewives really up in arms and clutching their pearls at this thought. Wait for it. This is happening in St. Louis, Missouri, and this daycare center is supposedly taking all of their little kids who are, you know, who attend the daycare center, and are making them participate in a fight club.
Oh no, that's not good.
I'm trying not to
thought of that brilliant idea?
The board teachers. So this is how it all came to light. The daycare center is also adjacent to it will be our equivalent of a pre-primary school or primary school. And one particular day, a 10-year-old who attended the primary school, who has an iPad, was walking over to the daycare center to look at how his little brother was doing. And his little brother's 4 years old. And lo and behold, looks through the window and sees a circle of kids with the teachers overlooking. And inside that circle, there were two little kids who were beating each other up.
Oh my gosh.
It's actually horrible when you think about it and like how this is happening. So this 10-year-old was able to capture all of this on his iPad, took it back to his mother, was like, what's going on here? The mother has escalated this further because, of course, now there's hardcore evidence. And the teachers who are at this daycare center really weren't doing a good job at trying to get themselves off the hook, because they're saying, no, it's actually not a Fight Club scenario. This is actually a new tactic for us to allow the kids to release stress. It's a new form of exercise.
Yeah, it looks, sounds like you're getting a life skill.
You know, if it was guided training in a specific movement or...
Well, it is. It's how to fight in a mob.
This is if it was horrible.
Karate or something like that. But guys, just
we've got to stop being so precious about kids. They come home with a black eye here and there. They're toughening them up because life's going to get tougher from there.
They're 4 years old, Ben. Exactly. And you think this is totally normal and fine?
Start young, win later. That's how the saying goes.
So, yeah, there is footage. You can see this on the net as well. These are little four-year-olds who are now beating each other up. Now, since it has been taken to court, the four-year-old who was identified in the video.
They got gloves on.
Oh, does that make it better?
Yes. Mm. This is playful. They got gloves on. Okay, that one kid is better than the other one. Got to say that. He knows what he's going for the ground. Okay. Ground a pound.
No, that's not good. I'm sorry, not at four. Brain injuries and all sorts of things.
Guys,
they've
got massive gloves on, and the teacher's wearing UGG boots. I don't know what a playful situation you need in life.
This is exactly why, Ben, I don't know if I trust your parenting skills here.
That's fine.
For now, the mother is seeking $25,000 in damages from the preschool. I actually think that's not a lot of money.
It is.
Oh no, I'd want way, way more than this. $25,000, you're allowing my kid to fight and be beat up. In the current court hearings, the four-year-old is saying that he was very afraid and didn't understand why he had to be put up against his best friend and hurt their best friend. So all of these things, guys.
Okay, well, sorry, I missed the part where you said they were forced to do it. It looked like they were having fun.
Because a Fight Club is fun.
Look what it did for Brad Pitt's career.
It was all in his mind, wasn't it?
I really just don't understand.
It's all in his mind.
Yeah, so much is being revealed about this daycare center. Supposedly, they've failed inspections in the past.
Well, there we go. Okay. All right. Well, it's clear to see what's going on here.
A caregiver who works there also has a bad history. But, I mean, what sort of person are you to think creating a
it's not just one teacher. It's a whole lot of them.
And they're probably betting on the kids, too.
Yeah.
Well, let's leave the show on a much happier note, shall we?
Yes.
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah. When did you all become woo girls? When did this happen?
Yeah, and this isn't the Four Ways Fart remix that Gareth would have played either.
I was about to say, so you were judging Gareth
for that
Calvin Harris, crack. But yeah, here we are crack. Now. Busta Rhymes and Pussycat Dolls.
Exactly. Timeless classic. And that'll be us for today. Catch you back tomorrow. It's going to be Friday.
Cheers, guys. See you on Monday.
It's not always about you, Sia.
I know. I'm saying it to you.
You said it afterwards.
And to the listeners.
Stop ruining the... What's the show
name? Nicole Scherzinger.
Nicole Scherzinger's moment.
Oh, that's a Ben. Bye. And I know you want it. It's easy to see. And in the back of your mind, I know you should be home with me. CliffCentral.com